through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Game day, the Seattle Seahawks facing off against the Philadelphia Eagles. Their offense is struggling under Carson Wentz, who has 14 touchdowns. That leads all passers in the NFL. Also has 10 fumbles, which leads all passers. An opportunity here, Jake, for the Seahawks defense to build on their win after the Arizona Cardinals. Now, that's not the first time the defense looked decent, though I would say it's their most complete game by far, their best performance by far. Also, that second half of the Rams game, though, they were building on that. They had plenty of sacks against Buffalo, but it feels like they finally all got on the same page. They were communicating. They executed. It looked solid. They were meeting expectations in that win over the Cardinals. It was still a close game, but the Arizona Cardinals offense, one of the league's top offenses right now in terms of yardage. So overall, a great performance. However, Jake, it's one game. One game after a series of weeks where the defense stumbled.
They turned the corner, Stacey.
No, they stumbled.
They're completely
stumbled.
They flipped this thing around.
Absolutely
it is.
Not.
What are you talking about?
I need to see more.
Top 10. Top 10 now.
360. I need to see more. I need to see this defense build on that. And I was talking to a friend last night, and I realized it's not a where did this defense come from. It's a where has this defense been. You've had too much talent to play the way that you have been playing through 9-plus weeks. Finally, you were able to get on the same page. And it wasn't just flashes. It was an entire game of you guys executing and being on the same page. But fans need to see more. It is hard to just feel comfortable saying that they've turned a corner. They have the talent to do it, but I need to know that it's here, that this version of the defense is here to stay. So let's talk about whether they're heading in the right direction. More importantly, what they need to do to prove tonight, in tonight's game, to prove that they are moving in the right direction. So why don't you get us started?
Well, Stacey, we played a soundbite of Cliff Avril on Friday, and we were kind of talking about, you know, how they were able to turn things around a little bit versus the Arizona Cardinals, and was putting up Christmas lights, which was a unbelievable disaster for me this weekend, Stacey. It went through a whole thing, Christmas lights going out, having to get new ones, this whole deal. But as I was putting them up, I was thinking a lot about that particular thing of how can the Seahawks defense prove they're heading in the right direction when they're facing teams like the Eagles and the Washington football team and the Giants and the Jets, and can you take them seriously? And I come back to the soundbite of Cliff Avril and how he was talking about how all the coaches and players, they're links in a chain.
These guys got to take responsibility, you know, and look themselves in the mirror and make sure they understand where they need to be so they can make this thing work and understand that they're all on a chain. If one piece of the chain is the link is broke, I mean, they're going to gas you, and you're putting more stress on somebody else, and that's not fair, and that's not how the game or the scheme is supposed to be played.
So when you have a chain and all those links attached to it, right, you can have one that's corroded, and if you have one that's corroded, the chain is no longer, right? It is completely weak. It's going to break apart. If you have a loose chain, things are going to fall apart. If you have a strong chain with all of its links attached, that's when you really become a great defense. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to be able to play for a legendary high school coach in this area, Steve Jervis, and he would do this every year with us. He would give each individual on the team a chain and talk about how we were individual links to the chain and how we needed to keep the chain strong with our decisions off the field, on the field. And it really got me thinking about this team. And so when you talk about steps in the right direction, they had this accountability meeting to make sure that every link in the chain was strong. Every link would hold up to their job and their standard of Seahawk football. That has to continue. Not just the meeting, but this that leading to a coverage that feels in sync. A pass defense that doesn't give up the big play. And they play connected, and the communication is strong. To me, them continuing to do that versus Carson Wentz or Jalen Hurts or whoever is out there, that to me is one thing that you cannot take away from them, that they would prove to everyone that they're heading in the right direction.
I agree with you there, and I would hope that that kind of accountability meeting, which is weird that it took this late in the season to have it, but I hope that that idea of accountability, of making sure there are no weak links and checking those weak links and fixing them when you do identify them, I would hope that that continues. Because even though you're playing weaker opponents, it's not going to get easier. You're still heading into a tough stretch where you've still got a lot to prove. I think that I'm looking at specifically two statistics that I want from them tonight. I'll start with the first one before we get back to you for yours. The first is I need to see a minimum of 3 sacks. You have no excuse to not have 3 sacks tonight. This Eagles offensive line has allowed 40 of Carson Wentz, which leads the league. They've got their 10th combination of offensive linemen in 11 weeks. They've struggled throughout the year, and it's not just the offensive line. It's not like Carson Wentz has been great and he's playing behind a weak offensive line. Wentz has been holding on to the ball too long. He's been making poor decisions. He's been stuck there looking like a deer in the headlights, and so you need to take advantage of that. I don't care how much your defense has struggled. You made a trade to get Carlos Dunlap. You traded away 2 first-round picks to get Jamal Adams. You made moves, spent money in free agency, and traded away draft picks to bring in pieces to help your pass rush. This will be your best opportunity yet to do that, and there is no reason you should be getting fewer than 3 tonight.
I fully agree with that. And you look at this offensive line that they're putting out there, Stacey. Just 3?
Just I know, 3? It should be more than that, but I'm saying minimum.
Would you be satisfied? Yeah. Okay. The minimum of 3. I definitely agree with that. To me, my sights are a little higher just because you are playing such a significantly depleted offensive line, and you've seen this group take another step. You've seen them take another step with Carlos Dunlap's play. You've seen Jaron Reed start to, you know, come alive. Puna Ford has actually developed into a really nice interior pass rusher. And I would love, obviously, to see Jamal Adams get involved in the mix as well. I just think this is the right opportunity for them to kind of have the perfect storm. And if you remember last year, they were actually very successful against the Eagles and Carson Wentz in terms of generating sacks and pressures overall, and I think that trend can continue tonight against the Eagles as well. So that one to me is one to definitely keep an eye on. And I think it's the key to the game, whether it's Wentz or it's Jalen Hurts. If you're able to pressure those quarterbacks, a quarterback who has been a shell of himself and has been extremely gun shy, or you're getting a rookie quarterback and they're getting his first opportunity under the bright lights in a big stage, getting pressure on those guys, making them feel uncomfortable, is the best way to create chaos and to create disruption and to create them playing into the style of game that you want.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. I'm curious to hear what you think about this one specifically, Jake, because it relates to the few strengths that they do have on offense. I think it's vital that they stop Miles Sanders, and I wonder if it's been weird because the Eagles offense has struggled so much, but they haven't necessarily like leaned into the run. Do you think that if the Seahawks are effectively bringing pressure and Carson Wentz is struggling, even if that happens early, that they'll continue to kind of turn it over to him? Because so far, Peterson has been doing that. Like, do you see bringing pressure on Wentz early as being something that really makes the Eagles change and lean into Miles Sanders?
Oh yeah. I think actually they're going to try and get Miles Sanders going early. I don't think that they're going to have a lot of success with it to start. You're going to try, if you're the Eagles, to take as much pressure off of Carson Wentz as much as possible. And Miles Sanders has been wildly successful this season, not necessarily in attempts, but his average yards per carry is 5.7 yards per carry. That's an explosive player. The other way that they're going to try and do that is through the screen game. They'll try and get the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands. They know that the Seahawks are going to be raring to try and get after Carson Wentz. And so another way to try and slow that down is either the run game or through the screen game. And the Seahawks have been better at covering the screen game versus the Arizona Cardinals. Can they show that same type of discipline and effort? Because that's really what you know, taking care of the screen game is about, is recognition and hustle to the ball. We'll see if they can hold that up throughout the game, because that will be another key that I will be watching for. And you know, one of the other things that I think this defense can do to prove it's heading in the right direction is getting those turnovers. Stacey, we talk about pressure and sacks and all that, but generating pressure to me is going to inherently have a causation of turnovers. They've had zero turnovers in the last three games. This is a defense that has kind of turned a corner, a mini pivot, so to speak. But for them to fully start turning the corner, they need to get back to what they did at the beginning of the year in terms of turning the ball over, not in the yardage given up, but being able to get your hands on the ball and make those big plays. And this is the perfect opponent to get that going again.
Yeah, I completely. If you're looking at the defense as a whole and you're saying Seattle's defense is clearly the weaker side of the ball and the pass defense is the weakest side of that defense, you want to feel good about other facets of it. You don't want to be trailing in turnovers and in sacks and in all this stuff. The pass rush has improved. You're increasing those sack totals. You want to be good against the run, and then you want to get those turnovers again, like you said, Jake. If you can do that, you feel a lot better about a pass defense that has been pretty atrocious, because at least you can hang your hat on being able to make plays on the ball and stop the run, right? You at least take some weapons out of your opponent's hands. When you can't do that, all of a sudden it's free reign, and you start seeing some of those, you know, head-scratching mistakes that we've seen from this defense early in the year when it was like, can they do anything? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I wrote down stop Miles Sanders, which I think goes hand-in-hand with that. Get back to those two things you could hang your hat on. Turnovers, stopping the run. Do those two things. And I don't care if you give up 400 yards to Carson Wentz. I mean, I'm going to be irritated about it. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. But I'm going to feel fine about it. It's not going to happen. But I will not feel awful about how poor the pass defense has been if they can at least make it just the pass defense.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The reason why I say I don't think it's going to happen is because I think this is going to play right in their hands. At least I'm hoping it will. And if you can eliminate the run game, and if you can generate pressure, get turnovers, and force Carson Wentz to have to beat you through the air, that's exactly what you want. He's a talented guy. He can make big plays. He can do special things. He still has that in him. But if this defense has truly turned a corner and is taking the steps in the right direction, they are going to play disciplined, good, solid pass defense. They're not going to give up those big plays. They're not going to, you know, let somebody loose wide open down the middle of the field. They're going to make the Eagles earn it the entire way for an entire drive. And if they scored, then hats off to them. Mm-hmm. But if this defense is truly turning a corner, they are making Carson Wentz earn it down the field. And at this stage right now, the way that he's playing, I don't think that he can consistently drive the ball down the field without turning the ball over.
Do you think we're going to see the end of Carson Wentz's career in Philadelphia this season? It doesn't have to be this week. That's a lot to put on it. But do you think this season will mark the end of his career in Philadelphia with the way that he's been playing and with the fact that the guy that they would go to has the make of a future franchise guy? It's a higher draft pick, second round, a guy who excelled in school, a guy who people have been, you know, clamming for. Or is this a guy, is this the potential to be the end of Carson Wentz in Philly this season?
Yes. Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Now, I do believe that Carson Wentz, you've not seen the last of him playing this year. If he gets benched and Jalen Hurts comes out there and plays against the Seahawks at some point, I don't think that's the end of Carson Wentz for the year. I do think that it will turn into a huge discussion as an organization as to how you unload that contract and move on from Carson Wentz. You're going to have to look to trade him and see if there's some other team that is willing to take him on as a project. I mean, Indianapolis Colts with Frank Reich, obviously that's an easy connection. He was Carson Wentz's offensive coordinator during his MVP year and when they first drafted him. I think there would people be willing to take him on, just not under the current contract that he is under. So the Eagles are really, really stuck here. But I believe it would be the beginning of the process to try and get that done.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. It is game day before we get to more of our preview. And that includes our Eagles, Eagles, Eagles game show. We're going to take a look around the NFL with NFL headlines. Let's start with Denver, one of the weirder situations we've seen ever in NFL history. And I know it's been a weird year, so maybe of all years it would happen in 2020. But the Broncos, they had a positive test among their quarterbacks because all quarterbacks were in that quarterback meeting, quarterback room without masks. They all had to be ruled out because of contact tracing. So instead, Denver down to just basically someone, a wide receiver brought up from the practice squad that had played quarterback in college. Unsurprisingly, he's not really leaned on for the game. The Broncos lose. Here we are. Well, Broncos safety Kareem Jackson told the Washington Times that Denver was used as an example for other teams after those protocol violations resulted in that decision to start the practice squad quarterback. I don't know if I completely believe it. What I actually think happened, though, is that the NFL didn't want to have to reschedule two games, and it would rather have rescheduled and prioritized the Ravens-Steelers game, maybe because that happened first, then move the Denver game. I think they did not want to force a Week 18. They did not want to keep moving games. And so I don't think it was necessarily making an example. I just think the NFL was like, we don't care what this game is going to look like. We don't care if it's weird. We don't want to move a second game.
Yeah, that probably has more to do with it than anything else. I've heard that floated out there that they're trying to make an example of the Denver Broncos, and I agree with you that this probably was more about scheduling than anything else. But what a bad position, you know, the NFL has put the Denver Broncos, and you can blame the players, absolutely. They didn't abide by the protocols. They should have been wearing a mask in their meetings, no doubt. I also think, on the flip side, though, if they were in the same situation, you did have the Ravens and the Pittsburgh game still in flux, and you had like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or any of these quarterbacks in that same situation that Denver was in, I don't know if they give those guys the same treatment that they gave.
Oh, so
Denver.
You're saying if it was a contender, if you had an actual contender.
If it was a contender.
Yeah.
They would have made it work. They would have figured it out. And I can understand why the Broncos, as an organization, are probably upset at the NFL for the way that they handled this and the position that they put them in. And, you know, it turned out that those quarterbacks that were quarantined and were not allowed to play, that they ended up testing negative, that they could have played. But they didn't know that at the time. They didn't have that information at the time, and they needed to make sure. So I just think that this is one of those situations where you got to be very careful. Players, you've been put on notice from the league, mm-hmm. and you have to make sure that you're doing your part. But also, there have been a lot of players who have tested positive that have done all the right things. So I don't want this to all of a sudden turn into a PR machine that if games don't get played or guys are testing positive, it's because they're not going about things the right way. Most players are, and even a lot of players who are testing positive, you know, they're doing all the right things, and it's a virus. You know, sometimes you try and do everything right and you still get it. So I just don't like the messaging that it's on the players. The players are the ones that
yeah.
are at fault.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, you could, at this point, in some areas, you could catch it anywhere, and it's not just if you follow every protocol, you might not get it. So I agree. Let's move on to the Giants, the Seahawks' next opponent. Daniel Jones suffered a hamstring strain, according to Jordan Rannan. It's likely to make him miss some time, so there's a chance he won't be available next week. Although Joe Judge says, quote, there remains more question marks than answers right now when it comes to that hamstring. So still no real clarification. I think a lot of it is going to depend what the rest of the week looks like for him. I would say that up in the air whether or not he starts against Seattle. It is definitely still in flux.
This will actually annoy me if Daniel Jones is not able to play.
Why?
Because we talk about what do they need to prove.
Yeah.
Well, you look at that game and you're like, well, did the defense really do anything? They played Colt McCoy, right? No, I want every one of those teams' very best. Because then it gives you the best opportunity as a team to really prove to yourself and to everyone around in the league that you are, you know, winning these games and building towards something. in the same breath, I'm going to say that I'm not too sad to see this happen because a win is a win. Get the win. That's all that matters.
That's all I'm saying. And not only that, Jake, hear me out. Here's why it would be even better if Daniel Jones wasn't playing. It seems like what the Seahawks defense has been struggling with is not necessarily talent. There are some guys that haven't played up to expectations, but not talent. Instead, it's been execution, communication, maybe there's coaching scheme, some other stuff in there. It seems like being able to practice that against weaker opponents would almost be better for you versus really proving something. Like, I don't know if you're like ready to go out and prove anything yet. I would almost rather they play really weak opponents, practice communicating, holding each other accountable, doing whatever it is they did before the Arizona Cardinals game. Bring that into this stretch of games. Do it before every game, and then go out and test yourself against the Rams, right? Like, I am fine with them not proving something against Daniel Jones if it means that they get to practice communicating. Like, do I want them to get three sacks tonight? Yes, but that's different.
That's very fair. And I have said that these four games, you don't treat these games like it. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm taking this for granted. But in that essence, these four games could be the preseason you never had. That you're playing four weaker offensive opponents, and that gives your defense an opportunity to practice communicating better, to execute and do their job. And these can be momentum building type of games for you, for individuals and as a collective team. So I definitely agree with that point there, Stacey. And I think it's a good one. It doesn't matter who's under center. It's about the execution in which the Seahawks play with.
Jumping ahead, Adam Gase, head coach of the worst team in football right now, threw his offensive coordinator completely under the bus following the Jets' most recent loss. This was him in a press conference, cut number 8.
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last 4 games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it, the drive before. Hey, these are the 3 plays. I do the 3rd downs.
So what happens after the 3 plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays. You were.
What part of the game was it?
I want to say that was the 3rd quarter.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the 2-minute stuff.
So this looks bad in a number of ways. Either it's bad because you don't know what's happening, or it's bad because you're messing up and you're putting it on your offensive coordinator. And can I just say, I loved the way that the press was kind of asking him questions and pressing on that one. I thought that they handled that pretty well. It was very New York, and I appreciated it.
it was that not cringeworthy?
It was awful.
Just listening to that?
I hated it, but I loved it.
Oh, well, it's just like, Adam Gase, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Like, you're trying to lie to people, and they're watching the game. They're watching you literally call the plays and the offensive coordinator not doing a thing. Who are you fooling? Why are you lying about this? Why are you saying that you're – just say that I was calling plays. I took over at some point. What is going on? At some point, the Jets just need to move on from Adam Gase. I can't believe they haven't done this already. They need to move on and start looking and evaluating who their next coach is going to be. I'm sick of it. This is getting ridiculous.
It's when the lie is so bad that you can't even think of an excuse as to why it's bad. Like in Bridesmaids, when Kristen Wiig is asked if she wants to go for a walk, and she just goes, I can't. Like, you can't even think of an excuse. You just have to say, I don't know who was calling it. I don't know what to tell you. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Seattle. Jake, Curtis, are you guys ready to face off for Eagles, Eagles, Eagles?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well,
yeah, we're
need
ready.
A little more
and
energy.
I promise, this time around, we are going to get a question right.
Before the bonus.
Yeah, you guys
right.
before
the bonus
down. We'll see if that happens. That's next.
That was rough.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Eagles, 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 Eagles,
Eagles. You're struggling at the end of that one, Curtis, but you still executed. It was a good job. All right, it's Eagles, 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 getting you guys ready for tonight, Monday night. Monday night football between the Eagles and the Seahawks. So we're going to quiz Curtis and Jake will face off against each other. You guys can play along. Curtis and Jake, you will be penalized for looking at the text line. You will be penalized, and I will make someone who knows nothing about sports play in your place. Uh-oh. If that happens. I will pull in someone from the newsroom to answer questions for you, and those points will count as a warning if you look at the text line. So that also makes it so that you guys at home can play along. Let's go with question number one. Who wants to go first?
Let's see. Who won last time?
I won last time.
All right, Curtis.
I'll go first. Ugh.
Carson Wentz has been... Oh, by the way, I want to say that these questions, when you think about them, are all very answerable.
Okay.
Okay, Carson Wentz has been sacked 40 times. I mean, all... let me finish. Carson Wentz has been sacked 40 times. He's on pace to finish in the top five in most sacked quarterbacks list. One quarterback has appeared on this list twice. Top five, most sacked. He's appeared twice. Who is it?
I believe it's the guy who's always championing for his brother in the media. That'd be one David Carr, former Texans quarterback.
That is correct. David Carr. You guys, David Carr was sacked 76 times in 2002.
It's too many times.
It's way too many times. Think about it. That's 36 more times than Carson Wentz right now, who's leading the league. He was also sacked 68. I have no idea. I have no idea. He was also sacked 68 times in 2005. Jake, so it's 1 point for Curtis. Jake, the Eagles
maybe
drafted...
Maybe he's made out of adamantium.
Adamantium! I want you to listen to this question carefully, okay? The Eagles drafted Miles Sanders out of Penn State with the 53rd overall pick in 2019. He set the franchise record for most rushing yards by a rookie, and he's on pace to break that again this year. It might feel like he's burst onto the scene recently, but that's mostly because he was playing behind which current NFL superstar in college?
Saquon Barkley.
Yes. Wow. You guys are already doing so much better than last week in that you have answered things correctly.
Woo! We did it, Jake.
Real proud of you guys.
We did it.
Lower the bar.
These are like kindergarten questions, but
I am thankful
for it.
You know what? I had to adjust my expectations for you guys, much like we have for the defense sometimes. Okay, Curtis, Russell Wilson needs 14 yards, which he will probably get tonight, to join which quarterback as the only players in NFL history to have at least 3,000 passing yards and 20 touchdowns in their first nine seasons.
Boy, I'm going to say...
Ooh.
Kindergarten question.
Yeah, is it...
Oh, they're so easy. Oh, Stacey.
I'm going to go off the beaten path here a little bit.
Okay.
Is it Matt Stafford?
It is not. Give yourself the buzzer.
He's put up some big numbers.
It's very fair to ask. It's Peyton Manning.
Okay.
You should have stayed on the beaten path.
I should have.
Very much on the path. All right. It is 1-1 still, but Jake, you can pull ahead by answering this. Okay. And lucky for you, it's true or false. Very easy. 50-50 shot here.
50-50. True, here we go.
True or false? The Eagles are average. I'll phrase it this way. The Eagles offense is averaging exactly as many passing yards per game as their defense is giving up. Also passing yards.
Their
passing offense is gaining exactly as many yards as the defense is allowing from opposing passers.
True or false? Ooh.
It's kind of a weird stat.
Okay. It is a weird stat. It's so weird that I think it's true.
It is true.
Yes!
I probably gave it away by saying it's a weird stat, but the offense is averaging 209 passing yards per game. The Eagles' defense is allowing 209 passing yards per game.
Yikes.
Okay, Curtis, you need to get this one. I believe in you, okay, but don't mess up.
Can you give me a hint like you just gave Jake a hint?
Curtis, let's not complain about the game that Stacey had to make this morning.
My bad.
I wanted to go off the beaten path.
Stacey, you had 5 days to make this
Curtis, game. I want you to pay attention to me. This is a question that if you were paying attention to me earlier, you should get.
Okay,
are you ready?
Yeah.
In four down territory today, your girl said that Carson Wentz ranks last among all qualifying passers in which two categories?
Oh, boy. Was I paying attention?
Curtis!
Last in...
Are you kidding me right now? This is less than an hour ago.
I'm going to say...
No one listens to me.
One of them is...
Oh.
I listened to you.
Is one of them interceptions?
No.
No, yeah.
Give yourself the buzzer. God.
Yeah.
Stop guessing. You're making it worse.
Completion percentage and off-target throws, Curtis.
Completion percentage, off-target throws.
Jake, congratulations on winning. No, I'm just kidding. We have more questions. But Jake can pull away to a healthy lead right now. Jake,
Let's go.
Eagles have not beaten the Seahawks since which season? I will give you three choices. 2008. 2011 or 2014?
They haven't beaten them. It would be 2011.
Ooh, I think I know this.
What were you going to guess?
Because
I
tweeted
give you the points,
out about it a few months ago.
Yes.
It was when Corn Robinson and Seneca Wallace combined for the longest pass play in Seahawks history. I don't know if that's later on in the quiz, but... It was 2008.
It's 2008. Yeah. It was not in the quiz, but that'd be great if it was the next question for you. It is 2008. Curtis.
Sorry, Curtis. I didn't pay attention to your tweet.
Yeah. Curtis, this is your chance. I'm still mad at you, but this is your chance.
Okay.
This is easy. Pay attention. This is the third time these two teams will be meeting in just over a year, 53 weeks. The first two meetings had the same score.
17-9.
You didn't let me finish. Yes.
He's just going to chalk it up.
Yep, 17-9.
Are we tied?
I believe so.
I forgot that I'm also scoring you guys. I'm demolishing this quiz. Jake?
Yes, we are tied.
Jake.
Wait, yeah, okay. This is to win it, right?
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to go...
No,
okay.
No, well, don't you dare.
We don't go to the tiebreaker.
Stacey, you can't go to the tiebreaker just for fun.
We're going
you
to can't the next do that. Segment! Oh, no! We're going against the clock! Oh, coming up next!
Come on!
Jake with a chance to win it! This is Jake and Stacey.
The wait is over!
They're going to win it, man!
It's time to sum it up. With Jake and Stacey. The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back!
We have one opportunity, Jake, for you to win Eagles, 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 our weekly game show. This is your question. Are you ready? Are you going to keep doing your arm stretches you were doing just then? Or do you think you're ready to go now?
You mean this?
That's
yeah,
exactly
I'm ready.
What I do too. Okay.
I'm ready.
Jacob.
Let's go.
For the win. If not, we have a tiebreaker, but we don't want that to happen. The Eagles are averaging 4.96 yards per pass play this season. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, if that number holds, it would be their lowest average since 1999, the year you were born. Who was quarterback for the Eagles in 1999? No Googling.
In 1999. It's Donovan McNabb.
No.
What?
Doug Peterson.
Their head coach.
Current head coach. It's like Inception. Do you get it? Well,
you got to be kidding me.
We're going to a tiebreaker. You guys will rotate
When was Donovan McNabb drafted?
In 99, but he didn't take over as the starter until 2000.
Yeah. Oh, Jake. Oh, no. You were so close to getting it right. Your logic
Stacey,
was there.
Stacey, I don't need this right now, okay? Let's go to the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker.
Come on.
Okay, I will...
Move on. Next play. Neutral thinking. Let's
I
go.
Will let Jake go first because I'm scared. Okay, Jake, starting with you. Do not answer... You guys will rotate. Do not answer until I finish the question. Russell Wilson has been the Seahawks' leading passer since he was drafted in 2012. Since 2012, the Eagles have had five leading passers. Rotate or flip between naming them, starting with Jake.
Okay. I'm going to take this just in spite of Curtis. Nick Foles.
Oh, you would do that.
Ooh, bear down.
Yeah. I would take that away from you.
I'm going to say Carson Wentz.
Okay, Jake.
I'm going to say... what was the year?
2012.
Since 2012.
2012,
They've
okay,
had
okay,
five
okay.
different leading passers.
Michael Vick.
Okay. Curtis.
I'm going to say Kevin Cobb.
No.
Ooh.
Yes.
So does Jake have to prove it here?
Give him the X.
Jake, can you name? Can you name one more?
Yes, I can. Sam.
Yes.
Bradford.
Sam Bradford.
Boom.
All right. Yes. Jake won. Congratulations. I did not think you guys would get Sam Bradford. I thought you'd for sure like kind of forget that he was there because it was kind of a weird year. But nope, you got it.
It was a weird year. Yes.
Sanchez
was that
being
Chip
the
Kelly
other.
Year.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, congratulations, Jake, on winning Eagles,
Thank
getting
you.
Us all
Thank
ready
you.
For tonight's Monday night football game. We also had Bold Take Monday today. Let's go over our predictions one more time. I am predicting that Jalen Hurts plays more than a quarter of football for the Eagles. He was taking first-team snaps in practice. Now, it would be easy to connect those two things and say, well, of course he's going to play. But Doug Peterson has been adamant the team is sticking with Carson Wentz. I think he shifts gears tonight. Jake, what's your bold take before this game?
My bold take is that Jamal Adams has been questioned. He's been doubted. And for some, for really good reason. And Jamal Adams, in his press conference over the weekend, was a little fiery when asked about his coverage ability. I want to play that here for you. Cut number one. Jamal Adams, telling everybody, hey, I'm doing more than just fine.
I've had one bad play versus Diggs. Stephon Diggs versus the Bills, and I went from, you know, being one of the guys that can take away all the tight ends to all of a sudden can't cover. So to answer your question, brother, you know, I'm fine, man. I'm doing fine in coverage. I haven't been in a lot of man situations, believe it or not, but, you know, things can change, and I'm looking forward to those things changing.
And I'm looking forward to those things changing, too. And Jamal Adams also in that press conference said, hey, I've been playing with one arm essentially for the last 2 weeks. I've played with a really bum shoulder, have been toughing through it. I'm getting better, so watch out. So, all right, Eagles, watch out. Jamal Adams, primetime TV. He has his best game of the season thus far, has 10-plus tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, and he gets his first interception as a Seattle Seahawk. Put it in the bank. It's going to happen. Jamal Adams will be unleashed tonight.
I'm jealous that yours is so specific. I feel like I need to be like, yeah, Carson Wentz is 13 of 28, and then you have Jalen Hurts out there. He goes 5 of 7, gets a touchdown, but oh, it's too late. The Seahawks walk away. Can you imagine if that happened? Wow.
That would be incredible.
All right.
That'd be incredible. I would be using you to help me pick out lottery tickets for the rest of my life. But, you know, Stacey, in all seriousness, with this team here, this is an opportunity for them to capitalize on a huge opportunity. One, I mean, the 49ers, huge 49ers fan last night. I was a huge New England Patriots fan.
Friend of the show.
Yesterday as well. Yeah, absolute. They're friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
We had that question. Someone asked us if they were friends of the show over Troy Aikman. Absolutely.
Aikman tomorrow, is a foe of the show.
True. Very true. Yeah. There's a big distinction there. The 49ers will go back to being a foe of the show tomorrow.
Exactly right.
But as of today, they're a friend. And it leaves the door open for the Seahawks to reclaim the driver's seat of the NFC West tonight. If they win this game, they reclaim the driver's seat of the NFC West. They've got a very favorable 4 games where they can build and capitalize on an opportunity to make themselves a legitimate contender, Stacey. You have said over the last week or two that they have more to prove, that we shouldn't be, you know, sitting here saying that this Seahawks team has officially turned the corner after that win versus the Arizona Cardinals. They have much more to prove, and I fully agree with that.
Yeah, I think that they can do it, right? And I go back to that thing of it wasn't where did this defense come from? It was where has this version of the defense been? You always had the feeling that it was just there under the surface. Like, you could have kept your 2 first-round picks and still been 32nd against the pass. Like, the idea is that you trade away, you make huge moves, and you bring in talent that's going to be good enough to help you. And Jamal Adams has been fantastic. He also missed a month due to injury. Now that you're kind of getting everything falling together, you've got Shaquille Griffin coming back, you've got Jamal Adams, who's even healthier, you got Carlos Dunlap, who has been, Jake, a phenomenal addition through 3 weeks so far, has been part of their most productive 3 week stretch of pressures and sacks for this team. Everything's coming together now for this defense to get right, to continue to build on that win. We have not seen enough of it. Like, I don't feel comfortable saying this team's a Super Bowl favorite. This team can beat any team. I need to see more from the defense. Everyone needs to see more from the defense. You should want to see more from a defense when you're paying that much for some players or giving up that many draft picks. You want to see more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They have a chance to do it tonight against a struggling, struggling Philadelphia offense. You almost have no excuse but to have one of your best games. And the trick, too, we haven't gotten into this, Jake, you cannot play down to your opponent.
No, no, you don't. And that's why one of my big keys to the game in terms of them taking the right steps forward. You remember versus the Buffalo Bills game, how that,
unfortunately,
obviously we saw, right, how that transpired, how it finished. You remember how that began? That game, from the very moment they kicked the ball off, they looked like they had zero juice, zero energy, zero fight to them whatsoever. That can never happen again. They have to bring the fight to Philly. They have to bring a hard-nosed attitude to the Philadelphia Eagles, and this is an opportunity to do so. You are the better team. Act like it from the very beginning. Don't play down to your opponent. I want to see the Seahawks defense swarm to the ball carrier. Not just one. I want to see multiple guys flying around to the ball. I want to see them make a statement early. Hit them in the mouth. Hit them in the mouth and let this team know that from the very beginning that you're going to be, that the Eagles are going to be in for a long, punishing 60 minutes of football. That's what I want them to do. I want them to carry that attitude. And part of it is through the running game of Carson and Hyde, but a lot of it is going to be on that defense, on the Seahawks defense, to really set the tone from the very beginning.
You know, Chris Carson, too, making his first comeback in about a month here, missed a stretch of games. We'll have a chance, Jake, against the 25th-ranked rushing defense. This defense poses some problems, but hopefully it'll be a big night for Chris Carson. Let's see if he gets his first 100-yard rushing game of the season. It'll be a good one. Monday Night Football, you don't want to go anywhere because right after this, you're going to stick around for 710 ESPN Seattle. The Seahawks pregame show going to be coming on next to get you guys ready for Monday Night Football. This has been Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.